I'm slightly disappointed because I could clearly see the merits in Clause 5, and we've spent some time explaining that, gave evidence to LegCo, etc. But I can see it from a completely pragmatic point of view that he really does need the other provisions that are in the local government amendments to come into force, and continued argument and debate about Clause 5, some of it which is massively misinformed, but continued argument about that was just distracting him from getting the rest of the bill through. And the rest of the bill has got some really important features in it about publication of minutes and accounts and open and transparent local government and managing conflicts of interest, which is a real problem across several local authorities at the moment. So I can kind of sympathize with his desire to just get it through and to get it over the line. This bill has been around now for about 8 years and just hasn't made progress.
A lot of the local authority members have said there is good stuff in this bill that they need. Do you think that those provisions now, do you think they will go some way to helping resolve the situations that are going on now?
It definitely will, and it obviously comes from a petition that was made to Tim Ward originally, and there was a committee set up to look at the petition and that made recommendations. So this has been a long time in the coming, and these reforms are well overdue. It's always a risk in any small community where you have a small pool of people that are publicly minded enough to put themselves forward and to serve on the local authorities, that people will know each other, and they'll know somebody who can tender for contracts and everything. And how you handle that is really, really important, so that the public, the electorate, have faith that their local commissioners are behaving with integrity and being open and honest about how they're acting and how contracts are awarded and how work is awarded. So all of those provisions that are in there are really important and well overdue.
You put on social media that you think it should have been kept in and explained your reasons why. Would you just be able to provide those reasons why you think it should have been kept in?
So what Clause 5 did was it allowed the department to consult with local authorities to look at financial stuff, but to actually say, yeah, this is a function that you need to pick up and you need to do. This is a service you need to provide. So we can use the example of the civic amenity sites. They are not a statutory function. The Public Health Act says that local authorities have to collect household waste. It doesn't really specify how they do that. And local authorities across the island provide an amenity site because it's a way of dealing with a level of household waste that reduces waste disposal charges for them, because so much of it gets recycled, etc., etc. So that's all a good thing, but there is no requirement for them to provide a certain level of service through those sites or those sites at all. And what Clause 5 gave the department the ability to do was to say, well, actually, you can't walk away from this service. And we've heard threats about that from various members of local authorities saying, well, it's not a statutory service, we don't actually have to provide it. So you can see how, if the local authority is really, really focused on finances and on holding the rates level and not putting up charges to residents, that actually what they could do is cut those services which are not set out in law, but are ones on which our communities depend and expect to have. And what Clause 5 would have given the department sort of greater powers to do is to say, well, actually, no, you are going to carry on providing this service. That was kind of manipulated by some people who, I suspect, if you ask them about their motives, are probably best counted as bad actors in the scenario, to their own purposes, to say, well, DOI could hand over any function they like to the local authorities and we'd have no choice but to go with it. And that's not true. That clause was amended by LegCo to include consultation, to include consideration of financial and operational matters, and any move by the department to enact that clause and to use it would have had to have gone through Tim Ward for approval. So there were lots of checks and balances on it. And in fact, the department already has the ability under the Local Government Act to set up a board for a purpose, to specify the purpose and to specify how it was going to work financially. So what's now happening in the north of the island is exactly that, that the DOI will be setting up a board of local authority members and handing over the running of the site to them. And the DOI in that setup will be able to say the local authorities cooperated under a committee structure to jointly run that site. They'll be under a board structure, which will be absolutely defined by the DOI, and with no statutory right for the local authorities to have the DOI consult them about it or for them to agree with it. The DOI can just bring it to Tim Ward and say, this is what we're setting up. So I think local authorities have kind of taken their eye off the ball a bit. If they thought Clause 5 was a threat, that threat has already existed in a greater form in the Local Government Act from 1985, so over 40 years. I'm a little disappointed that local authority members who've been commenting on this don't seem to realise that the act that they operate under actually has that provision in it with less consultation.
Is it something you would like to then see brought back? Tim Crookle says that it's an amendment bill that has needed amending for 13 or 14 years. So do you think, you know, the next time this bill goes forward for amending, Clause 5 should be brought back and redebated? Or do you think this is probably the end of it?
No, I think the sensible measure now would be, if we talk about amenity sites particularly, would be for an amendment to the Public Health Act that makes amenity sites a statutory function and assigns it to local authorities. Yeah, then there's no arguing. Nobody can say we're walking away. Nobody can say we're not going to provide a reuse part because, well, because we don't want to, because it keeps costs down. You know, you just go at it by working out what the different functions are and amending the piece of legislation that's relevant to that, rather than having just the ability for the department to work through with that. There are lots of things that local authorities do by custom and practice. The way our communities and sort of nationally, the way services are provided is kind of set by that custom and practice as much as it's set by statute. So if local authorities are going to start playing the game of, well, it's not our statutory function, we don't have to do it, that presents a real risk to services that our communities rely on and that they're paying for through their rates bill as well. So somewhere along the line here, either you take the services away from local authorities and find a way of paying for that through taxation, or you put it into statute and tell the local authorities that's what they have to do. And I think any future government would be well worth looking at amenity sites and saying, actually, this is a provision that we absolutely do need across the island. We know that it prevents fly tipping. We know that it increases our rate of recycling. We know it reduces how much waste has to go to precious landfill that we do have. We know that it's a really valuable service to all of our residents, and it's one that needs to be provided. But at the moment, there's no statutory footing for it. So I think quite clear to me that that's a very small amendment that would need to be made and brought forward, and then we're not facing the risk that we lose the amenity sites again. I think my only other comment is that throughout this process, I think there's been a clear demonstration. It was clear in the LegCo evidence session with local authority members that they hadn't understood the legislative process and they hadn't understood or interpreted how the clause was phrased. There was lots of speculation about what it could be used for and the claims that it had no safeguards and we were just going to transfer services from government into local authorities. The reality of what's happened is, to keep that northern amenity site open, government, central government, through taxpayers are paying, I think we're up to about £100,000 so far, subsidising that site to keep it open and keep it running, which is not what taxpayers' money should be used for. It's not what DOI funds should be used for. DOI funds should be used for the things that the DOI has to do. And so the fact that we're paying to keep the site running is a failure of those northern authorities to actually manage the stuff they were meant to be doing. And I'm disappointed that they haven't managed to work it out themselves, that between them politically and community-minded people as they are, that they've not managed to find a solution to this. And so we're still at the point of not having a board in place. We're still at the point of government picking up the tab and managing it for it. And even when that board is set up, the DOI is still going to have to sit there and hold their hands to make sure that they behave all right. And that, I think that is a clear failure of local government, if I'm honest about it. And it really, really saddens me.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.